With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We've got you covered for Texans training camp, which is going on right now. Practice gets going on Friday, and I know one of the guys who's going to be out there along with me and a handful of others is our next guest. He joins us in the 8 o'clock hour each and every week. He is the general. He is John McClain. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing good. John, what'd you think of the setup the other day when you and I went and got our noses swabbed?
I thought it was very interesting, the whole process, beginning when we got a text and an email from BioReference and the company that is set up in the mobile unit in the parking lot and has its office about a mile and a half away next to the Oilers' old training facility. And filling out that form and getting our temperature taken so many times. And I'm glad because 3 weeks ago we would have had the deep nasal swab. Now they've determined you don't need it anymore. And they were talking about how things changed so much. What they know now that they didn't know 2 weeks ago that the experts are telling them. Now we'll do it again tomorrow and we'll do it Friday morning and then we'll be at practice.
You know, John, I think a lot of people a week or two ago, certainly 2 or 3 weeks ago, thought that the NFL seemed somewhat unprepared for a lot of this. All of the details that I'm seeing from various camps and all the things I'm hearing from you and Sean is that it seems like a lot of these teams at least were pretty damn well prepared and have a plan in place.
They had protocols set down by the league, and the league got them from the medical experts that they trust. And so they've spent months transforming their facilities into like what they've done at NRG Stadium and across the street at the bubble, the Houston Methodist Training Center. And they've spent so much money to do it. So they're doing it right. And they had to have their emergency response plan approved. The Texans was one of the first five to be approved. A couple teams went right down to the end. And sometimes it was logistically impossible. Like the Texans are using 3 dressing rooms. They have multiple cafeterias. They have a maze you go through. They have their sanitation stations about every few feet. They encourage the players to use them. They have a limited number of players in the weight room at the same time. Now, Friday, they'll put on pads, and I'm interested to see what they do because that's the first time they're actually going to be touching each other. And then they're doing everything right leading up to the season until the 7th game when they do everything wrong. And one of the things I think players should do, the NFL and the NFLPA has recommended a certain kind of mouth shield. And I think players should try it in practice to see if they like it because they say that if you wear this shield, it's basically a whole face shield. You will not get as much bodily fluids on other people and on you. And so I think players would be foolish not to at least give it a try at a time like this.
Hey John, this is the first time we've talked to you since the deadline to opt out last Thursday for players. And I think the final number wound up being 67 players opting out. Is that a is that number more or less than you thought it would be? Were you surprised in any way, good or bad, high or low, by that number?
Absolutely. I thought there would be fewer players. The NFL, the careers are shorter. They get make less money. They get less guaranteed money. So I thought more players would stay in. I didn't think it would. I thought it'd be a handful of players opting out for health reasons. And the biggest shocker of everything was the Patriots being hit so hard, harder than any team. And but there were no quarterbacks, no real star players. You know, C.J. Mosley, the Jets, and Damian Williams of the Chiefs, and Dante Hightower of the Patriots, and there were a few others, but by and large, they didn't lose a star. But it's still a whole lot of players. And I still was just like baseball because they let you opt back in. One thing that bothers me about football is what happens if they come up with a vaccine at December 1st and players get it, which means everybody will be able to play in the stretch drive in the playoffs. And to me, if that's the case and you have, say, Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung are out there and the Patriots and there's a cure and the Patriots want to add them to the roster, I think they should have had the option to do that, but they don't.
John, yesterday we heard from Bradley Roby, Titus Howard, and Will Fuller. Look, I thought all three of those guys did a pretty good job of not speaking in a whole bunch of cliches. But with Will Fuller, he's almost got no choice but to speak in cliches now when people ask him about his injuries. He is working out with a different trainer. Are you any more optimistic after listening to Will Fuller about his prospects for making it through the entire season?
He's very convincing, of course. It's a great opportunity for him. Last year of his contract, DeAndre Hopkins is gone. And even though they've brought in Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, he still should be the guy because of his relationship with Watson. And I wrote about Fuller today. And one of the things that interests me is last year, I figured up there were 10 games in which he was healthy from start to finish. He actually missed 4 full games. He was held out of the last game, like so many other starters. And then there was a game in Indianapolis in which he had 1 catch on the second play and didn't play again. So I took the 10 games in which he played, went the distance. And in those games, they averaged 5.6 points a game more than when Will Fuller didn't play a whole game. So that tells, as I wrote today, what kind of difference maker he is. He only had 49 catches for 670 yards, but those were career highs. But his 13.7 yard average per carry is low for him. 3 touchdowns were low. And of his 17 career touchdowns, 8 have been for 30 or more yards. So he means so much to the offense. He puts so much pressure on the defense. You know, he instills and Cooks the kind of speed they had, ran into 4.3s at their combine. His was 4.32 official. A lot of people use the 4.2 time, but that was unofficial. And there's not another team that can put that kind of speed out there. And even though Cobb's 29, he's 30 by now. He ran a 4.46. So they've got incredible speed led by Fuller. And if he can stay healthy, it would mean so much. He started working with Ben Fairchild at Ben Fairchild Sports Performance. Fairchild worked with a lot of big-time pros here. And he was talking about they worked on his posture. Seth, have you ever heard of somebody talking about working on your posture, that he was having problems when he was standing, when he was sitting? So they worked on his posture, and he thinks what they did will keep him from having the lower extremity injuries that he has had to deal with. And I've never heard a player in my 44 years of covering the NFL talking about they worked on posture. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. I mean, I did back. I mean, it's a lot of the guys, a lot of the strength and conditioning specialists, a lot of athletic trainers on teams. That's one of the things they look at when they look at the way your body works and moves and where your deficiencies are. They'll address posture because a lot of it sometimes going to have to do with your shoulder stability, your lower back injuries, all of that. So, I guess guys don't just usually go into a whole lot of detail. So it's cool to hear Will Fuller go into more detail about it. But yeah, it's it works when for a lot of guys. There are some guys that just have natural imbalances, or they just move in a way that's a little bit inefficient, and they tweak a few things, and it works for some guys. You know, Fred Taylor did a few things like that in a couple off seasons, and that was one of the reasons he stopped getting injured so much.
Well, if it indeed helps him play a full season. Remember, he hadn't played more than 14 games, and he did 14 as rookie in 2016. He said, "I don't dwell on injuries," and that's a good thing because we have to dwell on injuries because he's such a key component of the offense. But if he stays healthy, he's got a chance to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah, and to clarify, I don't want to speak for Will Fuller, but like when he's talking about posture, he's not just talking about, hey, when you're standing in line waiting to go to the lavatory with your second grade class, have good posture. It's more like when you're running, when you're dropping your hips, like all of your body positioning while you're moving athletically, there's different things you can do to take stress off of some of the soft tissue stuff that he's been having issues with.
All right, John McClain is in with us for his weekly visit. John is a big college football fan. We know Is John a little like the Big 12? Is he on the fence like the Big 12? Big 12 is going to keep playing football, but of the conferences that are going to keep playing football, they seem to be the one that's most on the fence. Where does John McClain come out on should they play or should they not play the upcoming season? We will hear from him on that next. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, John McClain with you on a Wednesday. Great to be with you. Big story yesterday, the Big 10 and the Pac-12 canceling their fall football seasons. They're going to try to play in the spring. The SEC, ACC, and Big 12, as of right now, all still planning to play. I will credit our friend Wade Smith, our colleague here at Sports Radio 610, former Texan Pro Bowl offensive lineman. And John, I definitely want to get your thoughts on this, but I want to share this with the audience here. There is a player from the Houston area, and I'm going to mispronounce his name probably, but I'm going to try to do this phonetically, Tamiz Adelaide. And he goes to Tompkins, and he just posted on Twitter, he's an Ohio State commit, or at least he was until today. Says, first and foremost, I want to thank Coach Johnson, that's his position coach, who recruited him, and the rest of the Ohio State staff for taking time, taking me in as one of their own since the day I committed. The opportunity to play at Ohio State has always been a dream of mine. I can't thank the staff enough for believing me and giving me a scholarship offer. The experience has been nothing but good. He thanks the coach again. I feel it's best for me to decommit from Ohio State at this time. The decision to attend a university is a life-altering one, and I believe it's in my best interest to sit back and carefully reevaluate all options at hand. John, I obviously want to know what your thoughts are on these three conferences, because your alma mater is in one of them, Baylor, moving forward to play football. But on top of that, how big a recruiting war do we now have between the plays and the not plays?
First of all, I don't think they can play spring football. I think that's just a pipe dream. And a lot of former coaches and players have said the same thing. There'll be a mass exodus to the NFL because why would you play spring football? And about the time you're finished, the NFL, you're playing when the NFL's going through its off-season program. It just makes no sense. And I'm not convinced that these other conferences are going to be able to pull it off anyway. And a story that is really good, the national college football writer that I read the most is Pete Thamel of Yahoo, I think does a great job. And he had a column yesterday with Kevin Warren, the first-year commissioner of the Big Ten. Kevin was a really respected NFL executive for years. He was with the Vikings when he left to go to the Big Ten. And he had a great answer. He said, there are too many I don't knows. He said, when you're dealing with the lives of human beings, you can't have I don't knows. And he said, ask him specifically about the I don't knows. And he said, how many times can you get COVID-19? Nobody knows. How does contact tracing really work? What does intense training do for asymptomatic or symptomatic individuals who have COVID-19? And then we've seen stories for weeks, but some colleges are just figuring it out. The medical experts say there can be long-term ramifications to your heart and lungs if you've had COVID-19, even if you don't have symptoms, even if your symptoms are mild, even if they're tough and you come back from them, you can still have heart issues. And that's the reason that medical experts have convinced the Pac-12 and the Big Ten to shut it down. And I'm wondering, does the Big 12, the SEC, and ACC medical experts, do they not have I don't knows? Do they know all the answers? And obviously they're playing for money, and I can't blame them. But if I'm a college player or if I'm a high school kid's family and I see a conference that is not playing because of too many I don't knows, I would certainly respect that conference and think twice about decommitting and go somewhere else where they're saying they do know it, they do have all the answers. So it's very interesting, of course, but I can't wait to see what the Big 12 schedule is going to be. I think that's supposed to come out today. But having kids go back to campus, college kids, without the testing that they have in pro sports could just be asking for a disaster.
Now, I guess that's what it comes down to, though, isn't it, John? Because even as you as a parent might feel that way, there are a ton of parents who feel the opposite way, that are okay with their kids going back to school. And I wonder, you know, we've talked about this, that the shutdowns at least have a partial geographic connection to maybe states that are more aggressive or are taking COVID more seriously or whatever it might be, compared to some of the states that were at least initially more lax about it. And I think that some of the administrators in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are more just reading the fan base, so to speak, and that maybe there are more vocal faces. You know, there's probably more vocal voices against going back and playing football in Michigan and some of the northern states than there are in Alabama and Louisiana and elsewhere.
Well, this story by Pete Thamel is aimed at Nebraska because Nebraska is throwing a hissy fit and threatening to go to another conference. And Pete and the story with Kevin Warren says, no, they won't be going to another conference if they want to be in the Big Ten. And as Pete Thamel points out, they'd be happy to distribute their $50 million to the other schools so they can kick and scream all they want about the unfairness of it all. It's not going to change anything about which conference they play in. And, of course, there's a lot of parents that don't care if their kids go back or they play football. And because there's a lot of parents out there that don't believe what they hear and read about COVID-19. I know some really intelligent people with great jobs who don't think it's as serious. They think it's overblown by the Democrats and the media that can't be trusted. And I just kind of shake my head. And so those are the kind of parents that say, sure, go back to school. You don't have to worry about it.
You know, it's funny. I mean, John, you bring up the money with Nebraska, and a lot of that comes from the Big Ten Network, which next to the SEC Network is the most lucrative collegiate outlet, you know, in terms of generating just cash for its constituent schools. What's the Big Ten Network going to show this fall now? Like, seriously, why would you even – like, I want to call up my cable company and tell them, how much do I get back if you get rid of the Big Ten Network for me? Because my clicker is not going to go over there one time for the next year, probably.
You don't want to see any games in which Notre Dame beat Big Ten schools?
I can find those on YouTube, John. And they've been few and far between at times the last 10 years.
I'll tell you the same thing that's on, like, the Longhorn Network right now as far as, like, okay, 12 a.m., Cactus Cafe. 12:30 a.m., Cactus Cafe. Let's see. 1 a.m., the 2019-20 Greatest Plays. Classic College Football. Back to the Cactus Cafe.
Yeah.
You're going to get a whole lot of Cactus Classic College Football.
Yeah, sweet.
I get so tired on the NFL Network of them rerunning the same games. They have access to just about any game they want, and I'm thinking, why do you keep rerunning these same games? And I've watched them all once, but I don't want to see them 10 times. And so I'm guessing Big Ten Network will be like everybody else. They'll have a lot of reruns. What they should do is have some interview shows because there's plenty to talk about. And it's going to be interesting, and this is what these leaders have to take into account. If the Big 12 and ACC and SEC play and they don't have problems, You know, have a few COVID-19 positive tests. Players sit out a week or two, and then they come back just like they had the flu, and they pull off their seasons, and they get their TV money, and then people are going to be looking at those leaders and go, wow, look what you did that's cost us so much money, and look what they did. On the other hand, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten leaders could turn out to be really smart, and that wouldn't be good because that means the other three conferences had big-time problems.
Alex Cintron got a 20-game suspension for yapping at Ramon Laureano. What would John McClain's suspension have been for the Astros hitting coach is next. Get to more Texans training camp talk in just a second. We heard from Titus Howard yesterday. Got a clip we want to play for John and see if he interpreted it the same way that Seth and I did. But before we get to that, mentioned heading into the break, Alex Cintron, the Astros hitting coach, 20-game suspension. Ramon Laureano of the A's gets a 6-game suspension for their roles in the bench-clearing brawl last Sunday, just this past Sunday, to close out that series between the A's and the Astros. John, were you surprised at 20 being the number? What would have been the number that Commissioner McClain would have given Alex Cintron for a suspension for his role in that brawl?
I was watching it, and the first thing I thought was, and I tweeted this, do you mean the Astros have a hitting coach? Who would have known? And because at that time they couldn't hit squat. And I think if you're a coach and you're experienced and you're supposed to be responsible, that it wouldn't have bothered me if they suspended him for the rest of the season, because it's inexcusable to do what he did. And he said he did not use mother in his, what he was yelling at Laureano, but Laureano and others said he did for 20 games today. What is that like, 20 in a normal season? Is that like 60 in a normal season?
54.
Yeah, that's a pretty serious suspension, so I think he deserved what he got.
Yeah,
maybe he said padre. What else rhymes with madre?
Yeah.
Or does it rhyme?
Yeah. Do people get mad when you say things about their dad?
It seems like they would just get just as mad. I'd weirdly get more offended by somebody offending my father, because the mother stuff is just kind of like a random insult. Like, yeah. I'm gonna insult your mother because that'll piss you off. I feel like if he insulted my father, then he's genuinely saying something about my father.
Or about you, because you are his male spawn. You know, yeah. You share a lot of the same genetics.
And I think the Bible, doesn't the Bible just says to respect the father, right?
Yeah.
They didn't even mention the mother, yeah. Or do they? Somebody, one of our listeners, please
713-572-4610.
Is it respect your, yeah, tell me where I'm wrong on this, because I know I am.
John, yeah. are you staying up late and watching these heartbreaking games with the Astros?
I watch every pitch of every Astros game, and they got a lot bigger problems than losing Alex Cintron. Last night, you guys talked about this before I came on. Their base running blunders are inexcusable. I mean, it's just pathetic. The bullpen was pathetic. The next time they put in Cy Snead in extra innings, I'm going to throw up in my mouth. And I understand the pitching. You don't have Verlander and Cole, and you don't have your closer. And a lot of these young guys have done well. But man, oh man, the base running blunders are horrific. And Altuve, you know, he's never been in a situation like this, and he's going to get a day off to rest, and maybe that will help, and maybe Springer comes back, and maybe Yordan Alvarez finally gets to come up from Corpus, and they'll have their regular guys in the field, and they ought to be one of the best teams in baseball with clutch hitting. But, man, they have been terrible in extra innings.
Yeah, that's where I guess maybe I'm a bad radio host, because I'm not too up in arms about all of this, John, because for one, like you mentioned, the youth in the relief staff, well, and then starting pitching at this point too, is what it is. But then also, look, they've had base running blunders for the entire time that they've been good. It's just that it's made up for by production by Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, George Springer. I find myself more frustrated with those guys than anything. I'm more at this point maybe I'm deluding myself, but I'm just optimistic that this all flips. The fact that they've been in extra innings with all these younger players shows that they've been playing competitive games. It's just when you're in extra innings with a bunch of rookies, at some point it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. I find myself much more optimistic than you, John.
Yeah, I'm not at all. And all those veterans that are not coming through in extra innings, think how many bad pitches they swing at. Kyle Tucker, is there anybody better at taking called third strikes? And you see Altuve and Correa, and they swing at pitches that are not even close to the strike zone. And Seth, I hope you're right. That would be great. But right now, I'm not seeing anything in the Astros that gives me any confidence. And as I tweeted last night, a great example of how bad they are, the Orioles are better.
Yeah, right now. Well, there's a lot of teams better right now, John. No question about that. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. Training camp is underway with the Texans. Practices, padded practices, get started on Friday of this week. We're going to have you all covered. I'll be out there along with John and a handful of other media members, but the only radio guy out there will be me keeping an eye on things. What's up, Seth?
It's honor thy father and thy mother. It's an arcane biblical text, the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Son of a – dang it. Yeah.
You'll recover.
I almost did it right there. Yeah. It said son of a bee. Yeah. That's not honoring the mother at all.
Texans training camp is going on. We are in the midst of it right now. I'll be calling in noon to the midday show and 5:15 to the afternoon show today.
Next thing they're going to be telling me, I'm not allowed to kill or sleep with my neighbor's wife.
Yeah, well, keep thumbing through the pages there, yeah. Shecky. It's in there. John, Tytus Howard met with the media yesterday. It's a big year for Tytus Howard coming up, having been injured in his rookie season. He was asked what his offseason was like. I want to play the clip and then get your thoughts on this.
I was mostly in the building 5 days a week, rehabbing, getting ready for the season. I got married in the off season and back in February. So I spent a lot of time with my wife. She's pregnant now, having a baby in October. So that's how I spent my off season. I spent it, trying to get, as healthy as I can. So year two, I'll be able to play all 16 games plus the playoffs, bring some solidarity to the O-line. So I can, we can be the best unit we can be to, help Deshaun out, help the team out, be the best, offense in the NFL.
John, did it sound to you at the beginning of that clip like he spent his offseason trying to get his wife pregnant? That's what it sounded like to me, because he said, I got married, my wife, and we have a baby on the way. So that's how I spent my offseason. I wanted him to stand up and swivel his hips after that at the press conference.
Well, he did a great job, and as a player rehabbing.
He was successful.
As a player rehabbing, he got to go over there while every other player was shut out. Mm. If you had a player who was recovering from an injury, he could come to the facility. And I wonder how many guys said they were recovering from the injury so they could go to their facility. And he made the all-rookie team, even though he played only 8 games. And I thought that was an impressive accomplishment. I asked him about it yesterday because I knew he was surprised. I was surprised when he did, but more than 300 people vote on the all-rookie team. So they've got – it's funny. This time last year, they didn't know if he was going to play guard, tackle, right side, left side. And, of course, Tunsil was in Miami, and now they have their tackles solidified. And that means so much to the success of the offense. But the guy that's got to be feeling so much better than everybody else is offensive line coach Mike Devlin.
John, I was trying to figure out a way to phrase a question to Will Fuller yesterday, and I decided that there was no way for me to do it without it sounding like I was trolling him or something. I think if we were in person, I could have done it, but on Zoom, it was going to lose something in translation. I wanted to point out that because of all his injuries, nobody's been talking about his hands or him dropping the football. And at least part of that is that his catch rate, he was the 10th in the NFL amongst qualified receivers at percentage of the time that he was targeted that he actually caught the ball, which is pretty phenomenal because he was actually 128th when it came to drops. That's in the bad way. He had more drops than the vast majority of the NFL. Is it simply that he's so open when he's targeted and he's so capable of creating that cushion that's just, it doesn't matter if he's going to have a few drops because he just decimates a defense like that?
Well, he's never been known for having great hands early in his career, especially that year he played with Brock Osweiler in 2016. He dropped long passes, short passes, and then he got better the second year. And so I think it's just something you accept, like a guy that hits home runs. You know he's going to strike you out, and you accept him. In Fuller's case, he hits a lot of home runs, 8 touchdowns at more than 30 yards, and they just understand that he's going to have a drop every now and then.
It's like Terrell Owens was the same way. He did not have good hands, but it didn't matter because he just still killed you.
Yeah, you take the bad with the good. John, Bradley Roby also met with the media yesterday. Here's Bradley Roby on being the OG in that secondary room.
Definitely. I feel like I'm just definitely the oldest guy and more experienced, most experienced. And I definitely feel like it's my job to lead the guys and lead us to be better than we've been in the past. You know, my goal is to be a whole lot better than we've been over the past couple of years. So that's my plan. And, you know, I'm doing everything I can to, you know, help everyone, with the, including the safeties as well, you know, trying to get on the same page with Jay Reed, working out with him a lot this offseason, you know, just kind of getting that bond together. Because one thing I know about secondary is you have to be a tight-knit group, you know, on and off the field. So I think I'm trying to build that as much as possible.
John, were you surprised that Bradley Roby was back with the Texans this year on a multi-year deal?
No, I thought he would be back. And it's funny, he's the oldest guy, and he turned 28 in May. And one of the things that they like about him is he can play outside or inside. You know, most of the time you're starting three corners, and I can't wait to see. Is it going to be Gerrion Conley, Lonnie Johnson, and Roby, which I'm guessing it is? Does Roby play cover the inside receivers? And he made a lot of big plays last year. He had that hamstring injury that took him out of the Kansas City game in which they won in regular season. Now, I think he missed five after that, so they need him to stay healthy the whole season, because unless the pass rush is better, which it will be if Watt stays healthy, you know, that secondary was terrible, and it was exposed in two games against Patrick Mahomes, 8 touchdown passes, and getting Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, who burned it with 4 right out of the gate, they're not going to have a lot of time to get it together. Remember last year, think about all the defensive backs who were in their first year with the Texans. Now they have a lot of those guys back, so they should have the familiarity should lead to more stability on the field.
Hey, John, the Texans had initially said they were going to cap attendance at about 14,000 this year. Have we had any updates, or do we have any clarity as to whether they're going to allow 14,000 fans in at this point, or are we just we're just waiting to find out?
Yeah, we're waiting to find out. They're not going to have any fans. And I'll be surprised with fans at any NFL game this season. But the Texans have not made it official. They had plans in place for different – that they'd worked on for months of different numbers of fans in the stadium, I think going up all the way to half, even though the possibility was more 14. But I don't think – it's certainly I don't see it early in the season. Unless something dramatic happens with the NFL's medical experts, I'll be stunned if any team tries to put fans in the stands.
So I guess, you know, that part of it is still, I mean, it's a little curious to me because we allowed restaurants at varying levels of capacity. And in a, when you extrapolate the size of a restaurant out to the size of an NFL stadium, I guess I don't quite see the difference between allowing 25% or less into a stadium compared to restaurants at a higher capacity.
Well, restaurants, you can walk around and say, hey, do this, do that. In football, when you have 14,000 fans in different parts of the stadium, if a family up at the top in the end zone, 3 of them are not wearing their mask, who's going to tell them they got to do it? In the bathrooms where every other urinal is shut down and guys are supposed to be 6 feet apart and they're not, who's going to be in there to tell them to get up to 6 feet? Who's going to tell the guy in the beer line, hey, back up, you're not at 6 feet? And if what are they going to do if people are violating? And when people get drunk, they're going to violate because we see so many sober people violating the rules. So I think it'd be so much more difficult when you have 14,000 fans spread out all over a stadium and not just in the stadium, but in the concourses and lined up to go to the restroom.
I got 2 words for you, John. Snipers, waivers. Yeah, that's all. Sign a waiver, and if I misbehave, the sniper's going to take me out with a beanbag. Nothing aggressive or anything like that. Bam.
That would work.
Yeah, that's Seth Payne. Idea guy. John, if they end up canceling college football, the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 ultimately fold their hand at the poker table here, what are the odds that the NFL swoops in and takes those broadcast windows on a Saturday, and what would that mean financially to the league?
I think that without a doubt you see the NFL playing on Saturday, then you'd have the NFL on Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, which at a time when you're about to start negotiations on a new network TV deal and new streaming rights, that would certainly enhance your negotiations. And, I mean, they're going to be enhanced anyway. I mean, they get $296 million a year for network TV, and that's going to go up. And so I think that would certainly work into the NFL's hands. And the thing about the draft used to be during the season, and they pulled it off, and they weren't as accurate. And the draft was 24 rounds, then 18 and 16 and 12, and then 8 and down to 7. But a lot of people think if they play spring football, they should move back the draft. I don't have any idea if they will move it back. They could move it back a month. There's a lot of things the NFL could do up in the air. But all these problems in college football are going to benefit the NFL. The one thing they want is if they're going to evaluate players who have not played this season, they want more time with them, more longer interviews with them. Everything they do now, they want more of to help them evaluate. But, man, think how hard it's going to be. Say a guy was a sophomore and he started the first time and he was great, but he didn't get to play his junior year, but that makes him eligible for the draft. What do you do basing it just on 1 year early in his career? There's also a push, I think, by Gil Brandt that they should lengthen the draft this year so many players wouldn't be unrestricted. Union wouldn't like that because they want as many free agents as possible, but those rookies are not members of the union.
John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. John, what's going on in the Chronicle this weekend?
Well, we've got stories every day. Aaron Wilson and I have podcasts on Texas Sports Nation. We'll be like you guys. We're doing it 24/7. Thank you for having me. Sean, I will see you in the morning over getting our second COVID test, and I hope you guys stay safe.
John,
I'll
see you on the Zoom call at 9:30 for COVID operational stuff. I'll see you on there today. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to go messing with the Zoom, baby. All right, John, yeah, we appreciate it. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. Thanks, John. All right, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. Not talk much Rockets today. The Rockets lose last night. They play it back-to-back. They're playing again this afternoon. Playoffs are going to be here. The NBA playoffs start this coming weekend. How weird is that? The middle of August. There is one particular team that is really, really scared of the Rockets, and they are manipulating their seed in order to avoid them, reportedly. We will hear about that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.